recent polling seems to suggest that a majority of Americans are in favor of some kind of control of these weapons.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I suppose if we were able to do some sort of direct, put it on the ballot kind of initiative, we would probably actually have much more sensible gun regulation. The problem is that our political process has broken down, and there are a lot of perverse incentives in the system to reach deadlock, not to reach consensus. I don't know if you're aware that a recent poll showed that congressional approval among Americans is into single digits.
Let's get into the question of the Second Amendment and deconstruct it, if we could. What does the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution actually mean?
Well, the first thing we need to distinguish is the historical meaning of the Second Amendment, what it meant at the time that it was framed and approved, and what it has come to mean to Americans today. So the original Second Amendment clearly links the well-regulated militia with the right to bear arms. It's a holistic statement of a unified principle of all the principles that are protected in the first 10 amendments, what has become known as the Bill of Rights. The right to bear arms is the only one in which government has a claim against citizens. It's both a right and an obligation. Government can't force you to pray, can't force you to assemble, but government could force you to participate in the militia. And in fact, when the first state constitutions passed these provisions protecting the right to bear arms, they also included a right not to bear arms. And indeed, the first draft of the Second Amendment in Congress had a provision allowing people religiously scrupulous of bearing arms to be exempt.
What did the phrase a well-regulated militia mean? Now, this was passed in 1791. Is that right?
Yes. During the American Revolution, Americans at least had experienced during the colonial period a time where the militia was an absolutely essential institution, both in terms of public safety, in terms of an institution that was vital to the community. Local political leaders were often drawn from the ranks of the militia. The militia in the South was responsible for policing slavery, and in the North it had to deal both with external threats from the French or the Indian populations that Americans didn't get along very well with during the colonial period. So the original militia is clearly a local institution that is regulated by law, but that is drawn from the ranks of white male citizens.
So it's a citizen army, in other words.
That's one way of rendering it. But the important thing to keep in mind is that a group of people taking up arms for any particular reason is not what the founders would call a militia. They would call that an armed mob.
Segment 1.
Recent polling seems to suggest that a majority of Americans are in favor of some kind of control of these weapons.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I suppose if we were able to do some sort of direct, put it on the ballot kind of initiative, we would probably actually have much more sensible gun regulation. The problem is that our political process has broken down, and there are a lot of perverse incentives in the system to reach deadlock, not to reach consensus. I don't know if you're aware that a recent poll showed that congressional approval among Americans is into single digits.
Segment 2.
Let's get into the question of the Second Amendment and deconstruct it, if we could. What does the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution actually mean?
Well, the first thing we need to distinguish is the historical meaning of the Second Amendment, what it meant at the time that it was framed and approved, and what it has come to mean to Americans today. So the original Second Amendment clearly links the well-regulated militia with the right to bear arms. It's a holistic statement of a unified principle of all the principles that are protected in the first 10 amendments, what has become known as the Bill of Rights. The right to bear arms is the only one in which government has a claim against citizens. It's both a right and an obligation. Government can't force you to pray, can't force you to assemble, but government could force you to participate in the militia.
Segment 3.
And in fact, when the first state constitutions passed these provisions protecting the right to bear arms, they also included a right not to bear arms. And indeed, the first draft of the Second Amendment in Congress had a provision allowing people religiously scrupulous of bearing arms to be exempt.
What did the phrase a well-regulated militia mean? Now, this was passed in 1791. Is that right?
Yes. During the American Revolution, Americans at least had experienced during the colonial period a time where the militia was an absolutely essential institution.
Segment 4.
Both in terms of public safety, in terms of an institution that was vital to the community. Local political leaders were often drawn from the ranks of the militia. The militia in the South was responsible for policing slavery, and in the North it had to deal both with external threats from the French or the Indian populations that Americans didn't get along very well with during the colonial period. So the original militia is clearly a local institution that is regulated by law, but that is drawn from the ranks of white male citizens.
So it's a citizen army, in other words.
That's one way of rendering it. But the important thing to keep in mind is that a group of people taking up arms for any particular reason is not what the founders would call a militia. They would call that an armed mob.